This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
So please, if you're waiting on an answer from God, don't get frustrated because God's not answering you yet. He may not be early, but he won't be late. It's a question almost everybody wants an answer to. How can we hear from God more clearly? The most important thing to remember is that God wants you to know his direction. Today I'll teach you the most common ways God speaks to us, and then I'll be back to answer some of your questions on this topic. Now, divine guidance is God's will for his children. Isaiah 42:16, I will lead the blind by a way that they do not know. I will guide them in paths that they do not know. I will make darkness into light before them and rugged places into plains. These things I will do for them, and I will not leave them abandoned or undone. Somebody needs to receive that word this afternoon. I read that. That's a great scripture, but it's for somebody here today. Come on, God is not going to abandon you. A large majority of our prayers are ones asking God to show us what to do in a variety of situations. What to do about the future, what to do about mistakes we've made in the past, decisions we need to make, how to handle and deal with difficult relationships. And God wants to lead us and guide us. Isaiah 30:21 says, your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it whenever you turn to the right hand or to the left. But here again, I don't think that means an audible voice is going to be back here just speaking in your ears all the time. But I think if we slow down, and I think slowing down is a good part of hearing from God. So can we all say it, slowing down? If we slow down a little bit and take a little more time, I think you'll get a major upgrade in hearing from God. I have started taking a little more time to make decisions. I'm the kind of person that pretty much thinks I can take on just about anything and get it done. But my body is beginning to let me know that I'm gonna have to lose some of that attitude if I wanna be around for a long time. And so I've found, I've been practicing this, a couple things recently that have really helped me is I'm not trying to make decisions before I need to make them. I'm the kind of person that likes to be on top of stuff. I want to know not only what's going to happen today, but tomorrow and next week and the week after that and the week after that. And so it puts a lot of internal pressure on you. And you're already dealing with so much out here, you don't need to be dealing with any more inside than what you need to. And so it's really helped me to just think sometimes, you know, that's for another day. I don't need to think about that today. And also, when people ask me if I want to do this or I want to do that, like I was trying to make some appointments last week and I had two or three different options and my assistant was on the phone waiting for me to give her an answer. And I said, you know what, I want to think about this a little bit and then I'll call you back. Well, one of the things I decided I didn't want to do at all. And then one of them, I changed the time from what I was going to do. Sometimes we get this bright idea that we want to do something, and all of a sudden we've signed on the dotted line and made a commitment to some appointment, and then we end up not being people of integrity because we don't follow through and do what we said we were going to do. And so hearing from God is going to require, I'm going to say it one last time, slowing down and taking just a little bit more time pondering things or thinking things over. Does anybody agree with that? You will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Now, we would all like a blueprint for our whole life. We'd like to know all the steps. We think we would, we really wouldn't, because if you knew everything that you were still gonna have to deal with in your life, you might just want to give up right now. But it's interesting because when things come one at a time, we can take just about anything with God's help. And so that's one of the reasons why God withholds a lot of information from us, because he's created us to live one day at a time and to deal with one thing at a time. And so you have to learn with God that he's not going to give you the next step until you do the step that he's told you to do now. Come on. Some of you may be waiting to see what it is you're supposed to do about something, but you're frozen in fear and not doing anything because you can't see past this one step that you feel like God's given you. But you may notice that the Jordan River didn't part until Joshua put his foot in it. And maybe the waters are not going to part for you either until you take a chance and put your foot in it. Anybody with me? Know where I'm at? But we don't like that idea of getting information from God one thing at a time, because this is the way that God's given me to explain it, and people usually get it. It's like, you have this. You don't like it anymore, but at least you've got it. You're not happy with this. Let's say it's your job or whatever. There's no life in it for you anymore, and you feel like God wants you to let go and do something else, but you don't want to till you know what the something else is. And so you're trying real hard and so you end up feeling confused and pulled apart, because God is always going to keep this new thing about that far away from you until you let go of this thing and show that you trust him. I mean, I don't have the time today, but I could tell you so many stories about our ministry and the things, the scary things that we had to do, and how God led us one step at a time, step by step by step. I'll give you one example of when we started our ministry. It was in the basement of our home, and we had, I don't know, maybe 8-10 employees down there before we finally realized we had to get it out of our house. And so we rented 1,700 square feet of office space, and we felt like, what in the world are we ever going to do with all this space? I mean, it just looked like the world to us. Well, pretty soon we'd used up all that space, and then we'd rented everything else in this complex that we could possibly rent. So we knew it was getting time to buy a building, build a building, buy some property, something. So we almost bought a church that was closing down, and we were close to signing the papers. And Dave just said one day, he said, you know what? I don't have peace about this. That was it. That was the only thing. I don't have peace about this. And so I said, okay, then we won't do that. And then we almost bought another building, and it was, how many square feet was that building? Huh? 30,000 square feet. And we thought, well, my gosh, what in the world would we ever do with 30,000 square feet? Well, we put in a bid on that building, and somebody else got it instead of us. So one of the ways that you hear from God sometimes is he'll just shut a door. You know? And don't be the kind of person that gets upset because you didn't get what you wanted. If God closes a door, then you better thank him for doing it, because that means that you would have been doing something that wouldn't have worked for you otherwise. God can open doors, but he can also close them. And so that door closed. Well, we didn't know what we were going to do. I mean, we were really like hurting for space. I mean, we were on television by then, and we were hiring so many people. Our ministry was tripling in size, and we had desks out in the hall. We had just everywhere we could put them. And the way we drove into our office was the same way every day. And yet for some reason, we had never seen this sign. All right, I'd seen it, but I never paid much attention to it. There was a little sign over here on the side of the road as we would drive by, and it had an arrow pointing up 55 acres for sale. Well, one day I said to Dave, I wonder what that is. You know, it's interesting how God can blind you to something if it's not the right time. And he can open your eyes to something when it is the right time. And so we went up and looked at the 55 acres and, oh man, this would be awesome, but there's no telling what this would cost. And we only had a certain amount of money saved toward this. And so we found the lady who owned it. And somebody else had offered her the same amount of money that we felt like we could offer a couple of years prior to that, and she wouldn't sell it to him. But God gave us favor with her, and she sold it to us for that exact amount of money. And that's where our property sits today, and it's how many thousand square feet? 150,000 square feet in the office building and 68,000 square feet in the distribution center. So the 30,000 square feet wouldn't have lasted very long. See, God shut that door because he knew more than we did about what was going to happen in the future. If we would have bought that church or that building, we would have been in trouble. Well, God hid that property from us, even though we drove right by it every day, didn't see it. He hid it from us until it was the right time for us to do that. So please, if you're waiting on an answer from God, don't get frustrated because God's not answering you yet. He may not be early, but he won't be late. Come on. Well, Ginger joins me now to discuss some of your questions on how to hear from God. Well, Ginger, have you ever needed to hear from God?
Have I ever? Every minute of every day, yeah. And I can relate to these questions.
Sure.
Because I think all of us want desperately to know that we're hearing whatever we can. And we know that God wants to speak to us. So therefore, it's what do we need to do to hear it?
Yeah.
So some really great questions. This comes from Amy, and she says, how do I know I'm actually hearing from God and not making it up myself?
Well, first of all, you have to make sure that what you are hearing is in line with God's word. And then you have to trust. You know, I've had to learn to believe that I can hear from God. Because as long as you have doubts whether you can hear from God or not, you know, the enemy's going to play with your mind in that area.
Right.
And, you know, depending on what it is, I think sometimes if what you're asking God about is something really important. Maybe you think you've heard from God, so you take one step and see if that step is successful and is working, and if God opens a door, and then you take another step. Now, if it's just your general everyday, you know, what sounds good for dinner, Lord, then, you know, I think he wants you to have what you want.
Yeah.
We all go through that. How do I know that I'm hearing from God and not myself? And one of the things that's interesting, I read a great book on this particular subject, and I loved what the writer said. He said that many times when God speaks to you, it sounds like your own voice. And so that really makes you think, well, am I just making this up? And the more experience you have with God, I think you get to know God's nature, and so you know that when he speaks to you, it's going to be kind, it's going to be sometimes even just like a whisper, mm-hmm. or I think a lot of times when we hear from God, it just comes as a knowing.
Yeah.
You just know that's the right thing to do.
Yeah. You know, I kind of threw off something as we were starting, and just started thinking about that. Does everybody know that? Because I said, we know that God wants to talk to us, but how do we hear him? Maybe not everybody even has that aspect of this.
There's a lot of people that don't think that, you know, I was in church a lot of years before. I mean, I talked to God all the time.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize that he wanted to talk back to me. Now, you know,
that's a huge part of this.
Yeah, we don't sit down in a chair and have a conversation with God like this, but we can have a conversational relationship with him. It's just that we cannot expect him to always answer back in words. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes he does speak through our own mind, or he'll speak to us through other people.
Right.
But a lot of times it is just, it's a discerning, it's like you can sense what God is wanting you to do mm-hmm. after you talk to him.
Yeah. All right. Well, here is a question about mistakes that we've all made. Sue from Los Angeles says, I've made the mistake of thinking I've heard from God in the past and I've acted on that and I made a big mistake. How do I avoid going through that again in the future with other big decisions in my life?
I don't know if I can guarantee her that she'll never have it happen again. One great man of God was asked how he learned to hear from God, and he said through making a lot of mistakes. And I do think that that is part of how we learn to hear from God. You step out on something and, you know, it just didn't work out. One of the things that I tell people is if you didn't hear from God and you made a mistake, just say so. Don't try to cover it up or hide it or make excuses for it or force something to work out that it's obviously, you know, not God. God loves you, and if you sincerely want to hear from him and you do make a mistake, I believe that he will even redeem that mistake and make it work out for good. If nothing else, at least you know not to do that again.
Right. We always learn from those mistakes.
Yeah.
This is Sandy from Indiana. Sandy would like to know, how do you wait for God? I get impatient and try to fix things on my own. Then if I do things, I don't know if it was because I did it or because God did it. So how do we wait to hear that voice, that answer from God?
Well, God does not appreciate us getting into what the Bible calls works of the flesh. That means we're trying to do God's job for him.
Yeah.
So obviously, we don't want to wait. There's nothing in any of our human nature that wants to wait. So we're all guilty of trying to, I know what God wants me to do. I know what God wants me to do.
Yeah.
And waiting is not just sitting around doing nothing. It means to expectantly wait on God, believing that something good is going to happen at any moment. So that makes it a little more exciting when you don't think about it like just, well, God, but I'm expecting God to move today. I'm expecting him. And, you know, telling somebody how to be patient is very difficult because our personalities are different.
Mm-hmm.
Like my husband is really more or less naturally patient. And I am very naturally impatient.
I did not get that patient gene either.
Yeah. And so people with more aggressive personalities normally aren't as patient. And so it may take you longer to learn it than somebody else.
Yeah.
But I've come to the point now where I'm really not impatient with God. It's more other things, you know, people irritations or, you know, having to wait at a doctor for an hour and a half when I should have gotten in when my appointment was.
Preach.
Yeah, because I know that God's timing in my life is always perfect.
Yeah.
And I know that he can do anything. Mm-hmm. And so if he can do anything and he's not doing it yet, then there must be a reason why. And I trust him enough to know that he'll bring it in the right time.
I think that's a key word, trust.
Yep.
Trusting God through the waiting. Here's a question from Lee in Florida. I'm not sure how to really listen. I think I'm hearing from God, but I'm not really sure. Any ideas on how I can build and refine that listening skill?
Well, I think that you, when you're listening for God, you listen more with your spirit than your head. Mm. I think there are, there's definite activity in our spirit. And so, you know, one of the ways that God speaks to us is through desire. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, that if God tells me to forgive somebody and I don't want to, then that means I don't have to, because you have the Word of God, and then you have your desires and what you feel inside about something. But we know that we're called to peace, and we're to always, always follow peace. Let peace be the umpire in your life, the Amplified Bible says in Colossians 3:15. So I always look first for that peace. And to be honest, sometimes when I'm excited about something, I can't tell if it's peaceful or not. Hmm. You know, I just feel good about it. I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
And I remember one situation in particular where I decided I wanted to move and build a different house. And we even had plans drawn up. I mean, Dave wasn't all that much for it, but I talked him into it. And after I got about, 40% of the way into it, I could tell I didn't have peace about it. Now, why I didn't feel that to begin with, I think it was just emotions that overrode it. So I think sometimes in something like build a new house, or do I want to buy this car that I wasn't planning on buying, but I saw it on the lot, and I think those are things that we need to wait and let them settle before you decide what you want to do.
So, because this very next question is exactly what you're talking about, is how do we decipher between God's voice and our own hopes and dreams? Mm-hmm. So I think that waiting is so important. And and I love what God does for us in turning us. It's like He's constantly nudging us where He needs us to go. He's so patient and loving with us if we allow Him to. But it is hard when you get really excited about something, or when you have a big dream and it's not what God has in mind. But usually, if you have something in your spirit like that, do you find that God has put it there? He just needs to help you push it in the right direction?
I think if something stays with me for a long time and it doesn't go away, then to me, that's even more evidence that it is God. Rather, it's something I don't want to do.
Yeah.
And it just continues to stay there, then I know. Or, you know, maybe somebody that I haven't thought about in a long time will come to my heart. And I don't maybe even particularly know why. I might say a prayer. But they just keep, you know, every day I'm thinking about this person, or every couple of days I'm thinking about this person. Then I'll usually know that means I need to call them, or I need to check on them, or, you know, something. So I believe when things stay with you for a long period of time, that's greater evidence that it is God. Now, obviously, Ginger, you know, this is not an easy subject. When we want something, it's very easy to convince ourselves that it's God's will for us.
Yeah, you're right.
That's why, you know, you check the Word. If you're just really not sure that what you're doing is right, and you have a really trusted friend or mentor or a pastor, you could just say, you know, I want to run this by you and just see.
Right.
Do you have peace about it? You know, I mean, one of our own pastors here wanted to get a certain kind of car, and he came and asked me, do you think this would be all right? Would it look okay for me to have it, or would it not? And so I think that's a second thing. Check the Word if you want it. I don't mean that you have to run to somebody else every time you want to make a decision to see if they approve of it.
Yeah.
But there are times when it's good to wait for a confirmation.
Right.
And so a lot of it depends on the immensity of what you're getting ready to do. You know, how big of a deal is it? You know, I don't think I have to have a two-hour prayer meeting over buying a pair of earrings. And to be honest, a lot of things... And I almost hesitate to say this because I don't want to mislead anybody, but a lot of things, God just wants us to do what we want to do. Hmm. So because He's not a tyrant who wants to weigh in on every, you know, I mean, I have grown children, and there's a lot of things they once asked me that they don't now, and it would even seem funny if they did. And so, and a lot of times, even if they do, it's like, you know, I just want you to do what you want to do.
Right.
And so I think...
That's good, though.
Yeah, the only way that we can ever learn to hear from God is by stepping out and trying to do it. And you will make some mistakes, but that's not the end of the world.
And as long as you're within those guardrails of, is this in line with God's Word?
Right.
And He does want to help us when we need it.
Yeah. And waiting. Let me say again that waiting is good. I mean, just like, if you weren't planning on buying a car and you happen to drive by a car lot and you drive through and you see this car and, you know, the next thing you know, you're getting ready to sign on the dotted line. I mean, you need to put your pencil down and go home and sleep on it for a day or two, because once you get away from something, it's easier to discern. Okay, it's not just the car. Do I want the payment? Can I even afford the car? Do I need the car? Is it going to take so much of my money that I'm going to not be able to do other things that I want to do? So
right.
Waiting is a big key.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Joyce. It's very helpful.
In today's fast-paced world, it's challenging enough to hear our own thoughts, let alone trying to listen to the voice of God. But if we want to experience the great plan He has for our lives, we need to be able to hear from Him clearly. Learn the many ways God speaks and how we can seek His guidance for all of life's issues, from the major ones to the everyday ordinary choices, with Joyce's book, How to Hear from God. To help increase your intimacy with Him and be empowered to recognize His voice, you'll also receive the Hearing from God Each Morning daily devotional. Learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit in every area of your life, because God has your answers. How to Hear from God and Hearing from God Each Morning is available today for your gift of $30 or more. Connect with us right now. Visit online at joycemeyer.org or call 1-800-727-9673.
Need a girls' trip? Register now for the Love Life Women's Conference, September 22nd through 24th in St. Louis, Missouri. Come on, register now and join us.
I've got stuff that I need God to heal me in, and I don't think I realized it until I start realizing I don't have to be perfect.
It took a willingness of me to be vulnerable and to talk about it with friends and allow God to heal me.
Yeah. And there always comes a point where we just have to release everything to God.
Join the girls on Joyce Meyer's Talk It Out podcast. Subscribe today.
We have four boys, so our house is very busy, never a dull moment. See, my two older boys, they get along most of the time, but there was a season where they were just getting on each other's nerves, and just there was like battles, I felt like, all the time. Well, I know in my own life the importance of God's word and what a difference it makes. So when we started school this year, I decided that that's what I want our day to start with, is being in the word of God. And so we've tried a bunch of different devotionals. I feel like a lot of them were either written more for adults or for really little kids, until we got The Best Day Ever. The boys understand what it's saying, and it's very like easy to apply to whatever's happening in our daily life. I would say probably after a week of doing it, I noticed, I'm like, hey, there's not as much bickering going on. Like, they're being kind to each other. And so just being in the Word of God made a huge difference.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.